Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Warning! This episode contains foul language, ghosts, curses, themed restaurants, and is definitely not sponsored by the FDA.
You are listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week we get to sit down with a friend and chat about something weird, and this is part two of our food episode. My name is Ashley, and I am joined once again by my Sweetest Pie co-host Lauren, and one of my oldest and dearest friends, Natalie, who had a lot of fun with her research this week. Natalie is bringing us some of the wackiest, strangest, dumbest, and most haunted restaurants in the United States. If you love getting spooky or have a food-oriented fetish, this episode is for you. And after that, I will be bringing you some absolutely bananas Foster food conspiracies. Honestly, I thought that this would be a tough week for me research-wise, but there is an abundance. Some scary, some silly, and some have even turned out to be 100% true. Make sure you tune in next week. Lauren and I are sitting down, just the two of us, and we are going to be talking about some lesser known serial killers. That's right. It is a true crime episode. We don't have a lot of those. And we're very excited to share that with you. It's already been recorded. It's a lot of fun. If you're not totally sick of listening to me after this episode, head on over to the Movies That Made Us Gay podcast to hear me chat about one of my all-time favorite movies, Death Becomes Her. Movies That Made Us Gay is a hilarious new podcast hosted by very good friends of the show, Scott and Pete, who you've heard multiple times on Keep It Weird. Scott came on to talk about dolls in our first season, and Scott, along with Pete, came on earlier this year to chat about urban legends. We had a total blast watching and discussing the film, and I think you'll have a blast listening to it. So check them out on iTunes or Spotify. All right, I'm hungry. So get out your road maps and have your tinfoil hats ready, and let's dig in. Now we are moving on to weird restaurants and haunted restaurants. The strange restaurants.
Yeah, I decided to go two categories. One is just weird in general or unique, and then like some haunted, like strange haunted
ones. Let's talk about the weird and unique one.
I'm excited.
While we were kind of on the theme of oversized portions, there is a restaurant in Las Vegas called the Heart Attack Grill.
No.
Which is it, like, is basically okay. I mean, it's
that's just
throws it right out there. Yeah,
like we're it's awful, like,
and it's like the it's all hospital themed. It's like the waitresses are dressed up as nurses. You order your prescription,
prescription,
you
know,
they
like
just went all out on the hospital.
I could get on board with that in a bar for only a bar, like saying like, "What? Here's your prescription," and it's a cocktail. But it weirds me out to mix hospital and food. But continue. You know,
and it just says it makes a point serving food that is high in fat, sugar, and cholesterol, and in other words, food that if eaten regularly
will cause a heart attack.
So you know,
there's I don't like it.
Just some of the menu items they have, you know, of course, like double, triple, quadruple burgers, but apparently they have an octuple burger, which, you know, eight patties.
How does that fit in your mouth?
I don't even know. If you're over 350 pounds, they have a scale. You eat for free.
You're kidding me. Are you serious? Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Is this on the strip?
I don't know if
this
it's
is
on the
horrible.
Strip. It says it
this
was
is terrible.
For, it's got to be. Well, there was like a former one, I guess, somewhere else. But it, I mean, I'm assuming it's close.
That makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
Isn't it just ridiculous?
I don't like it.
They reward people who finish, you know, like big portion sizes, like a double or a quadruple or like a triple or a quadruple burger. They like wheel them out on a wheelchair to their car.
This
like
is
they
so
just
gross.
Went all out.
This is why
all
people
out.
Hate Americans.
Yeah,
this,
exists. This is just this restaurant.
I know.
I'm just like, ha 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 ha.
But I'm also
so unhealthy.
But we're also, so I'm not saying that I wouldn't eat there.
I'd eat there.
I would eat there. I wouldn't get the octuple. I would go to like try it out. But I hate the whole, I don't like the whole, if you're 350 pounds or more, you eat for free or whatever it was. Like you should not be rewarded for an unhealthy lifestyle.
Crazy. There was just a notable. The restaurant spokesperson weighed 575 pounds.
Oh my God.
He died in 2011. complications of pneumonia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really
a health reason.
A health reason.
Yeah. Oh, your health wasn't good?
Apparently, in 2012, someone had a heart attack like while eating a burger there. I mean, I feel like they're just all of these things are just going to happen.
Yeah, you're
like,
asking for
it. You call
yourself
the heart attack grill. Like, you're just kind of asking for
it. I feel like that happened and they were like, this is great press. They're like Bill Murray and Scrooge, where it's like, a woman had a heart attack while watching your ad. And he's like, awesome.
He's like, great. That's what we're looking
for. All
right.
So here we go. The quadruple bypass burger has 9,982 calories.
What? You shouldn't even be eating that in
like
a
couple
week.
Of days.
I know.
Like over,
for serious.
Over time.
I mean, it consists of 4 half-pound beef patties. Holy fuck. 20 strips of bacon, 8 slices of American cheese, a whole tomato, and half an onion served on a bun coated with lard.
No.
I...
Oh my gosh. That like makes my heart hurt.
I know.
I'm like, am I having a heart attack?
Like, I'm having a burger for lunch today. I've decided it. I want a burger for lunch.
Yeah, burger sounds good, but a normal size.
But even after eating like a normal size burger, normal size fries, I'm like, oof, that was a lot.
Yeah.
I can't do that again for a week or two. I can't imagine eating 9,000 calories.
10,000
calories.
Yeah.
That is insane.
No, you shouldn't be having that in one sitting. You shouldn't be having that in a day. You should be having that in 2 days. Like, oh my gosh. That's insane.
So crazy. But on a happier note, there are two Tim Burton theme restaurants.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah. One is here in Los Angeles somewhere.
I've been to that one.
Oh my
I think
God,
it's in Hollywood.
I'm so jealous.
I believe. Yeah.
What is it? Beetle House.
B-E-E-T-L-E.
I think that's the one that I've been to. I was very intoxicated, but I'm pretty sure I was in Hollywood when I was there.
Maybe you were just so drunk they took you to a regular bar.
You were
in a Tim Burton bar. There's Beetlejuice on the walls. They're like, no, it's just a guy in a striped jacket, actually.
Amazing. Apparently, there's also one in New York City.
Fun.
This is what Zach Neal has to say. He's the creator and CEO. The idea was simple: create a space where people who love Halloween, horror films, and gothic dark music can gather together for a meal and drinks.
Me?
I know, it's just amazing.
Me and Ashley are just grinning from ear to ear.
A space where it can really feel like Halloween all year round. Oh my God, I'm just smitten.
Why don't we go here every week?
I don't know.
What?
And people can come and enjoy good food, good drinks, listen to good music, and feel completely comfortable to be as freaky as they want to be. This would be my home for the freaks, weirdos, and grown-up goth kids of the city. I mean, it just sounds perfect.
Weirdos unite.
Hell yes.
Yeah, all fans of Keep It Weird, let's go there.
That's not the vibe I get from the Beatle House restaurant. But it's fine.
Yeah. I like what they're trying to do, but I feel like it's still like Hollywood-y.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be. But the reviews I read were like, the food is like average, average food. Like, you go for the atmosphere.
It's for the experience.
To get like served by Beetlejuice or Lydia or, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
You go for the experience, regardless. Some of their menu items are Sweeney beef, Cheshire cat mac and cheese, the Edward burger hands, Ichabod clams, and Oogie Boogie's braised bacon. Those were like my favorite ones. Those were like my top ones. But
cheesy,
they all have like cutesy Tim Burton.
I'm so obsessed with that.
It's so cute. I love it. And they have a cookbook coming out, apparently.
Oh, fun.
So
I'm
into called
that.
The Nightmare Before Dinner.
I love it all.
Yeah.
I'm on
board. So I'm here for all of it. The next one is the Chicago Sweat Lodge. It's located in Chicago, Illinois. Obviously, you know, some people. I am a teacher, so I know.
Hey, we had Chicago pizza like right down the street for years.
True.
So it was literally called Chicago pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it wasn't Chicago style. I don't know why they called it Chicago
pizza. Wait, it wasn't even deep dish?
I don't think so.
And it was
I
just
had
called
a pizza
Chicago
there.
Pizza?
I mean, maybe they did have deep dish pizza, but I had a pizza there once that someone ordered and it was like hand tossed. And I was like, why do you call yourself Chicago
maybe
pizza?
Maybe they just don't really know.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
They were like, Chicago is a fun word.
Yeah. Let's just throw
Chicago
that in
pizza.
There. Anyway, this is not about pizza at all.
Okay, great.
It is basically, this is just so weird to me. Apparently, this is big in maybe like Russia, but it's like a sauna, a pool, and a massage and a restaurant all in one building.
Pardon?
Okay.
So like you go and eat your meal. And then I guess you go in the sauna and like sweat everything out. And then you go in the plunge pool because you're sweaty. And then you go get a massage and like go about your day.
Kind of sounds nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a whole thing.
They have Russian. Apparently there's different types of saunas, like Russian saunas and Turkish saunas. The plunge pool is filled with Arctic cold water. So that's I feel like that's like the adult version of like getting in the hot tub and then jumping into the pool.
Yeah. I love doing that when I was little.
I know. It's but I mean, I have done it as an adult, but you know,
I did it last year at my parents' house in Florida. So, yep.
Yeah. So, it also is said to have, you know, just like really good, like authentic Russian and Eastern European cuisine. So
I think that, that's something they do in Japan as well. This is my knowledge. This is why I think that, because in the show Girls, when Shoshana went to Japan, and there was a scene where they were in this area where like the guys were in a hot tub, the girls were in a sauna, and then they were all eating at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I think that it was the same thing. It looked like the same location.
I think it's like a thing.
I'm into looking up
unique restaurants, and I was kind of like giggling at first, like, what are you telling me? This is what people do. But I mean, honestly, it sounds nice.
Yeah.
Like you make a day out of it. Mm-hmm. It sounds great. And I'm sure it's ungodly expensive, but whatever, you know, you only live once.
True.
My next one is called Fife and Drum, and it's located in Concord, Massachusetts. It is run by inmates inside of a jail. For over 30 years.
Oh man.
So it's been like a thing. It is the Northeastern Correctional Center.
Okay.
So I think the basic idea was for them to get their cooking skills, and then whenever they
I love the beat you took after that. Like, I just said graduated. And then just kind of so disappointed in yourself quietly.
Whenever they get out of jail.
They get released.
They'll have like some sort of skill.
Yeah,
but
that's the same.
I mean, it
makes
sense.
That's
the
nice.
The place in Maine where the Maine, we yeah, just we had just the talking. Maine episode.
Mm-hmm.
In Maine, there's a the Maine State Prison has like a carpentry jobs available in the prison, and they make like birdhouses. They make a lot of like touristy stuff. And there's a place in Maine that like just sells the stuff that is made by the men in this prison, and the women make like candles and soaps and stuff. And
we don't like talking about jail.
Okay,
yes. So and like it gives them these carpentry skills so that when they get out,
they'll have something to like put on a resume.
Yeah,
so they won't fingers crossed
jobs for
back
years.
In prison. Exactly. Yeah. It's an all male prison. Okay. They have, it's very low security. There's like a minimum security prison, and then it's what they call pre-release.
Okay.
So it's not like murderers.
I was going to say, so no murderers.
Yeah. Or serving any of your food or anything. Okay. It's 11 to 13 men. They work for year long stretches, but they have job assignments that switch every 5 weeks. So like you might be cooking or cleaning
serving
or, you know, whatever it is. They like try and
food
rotate.
Prep.
So you, get
like
a little
that.
Bit of everything. Oh my gosh. It's $3.21 for a meal.
Shut up.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like fresh.
For
apparently, it's
meal?
Like close to. It's like out in the country, so they're you know
it's
they
like
have
fresh
garden
produce.
Yeah, fresh produce and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and chocolate chip cookies for dessert.
Delish. Are the chocolate chips made of
wasps?
Yeah.
Are the cookies made with wasps?
Yeah. So I thought that was
that's
very
really cool.
Cool.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are like my favorite.
Strange
restaurants. And there were other ones that I thought about talking about that are actually closed down. There was one that's like a toilet themed restaurant.
Okay.
And like you see, it's just like these weird kitschy shit. Right. I mean, you know, like you sit on a toilet, your meal comes in like a little toilet.
No.
It's closed down. So thank we don't
that
have
would
to talk
make
about
me
it.
Feel upset. You that know. Would make my stomach do weird things.
Yeah, there's stuff like that where it's like I do like restaurant. Well, I don't like them. I think that it's stupid, but is it Dick's?
Oh, Dick's Last Resort,
oh,
where they're
where
like
they,
mean to you
they,
and put
hat,
white hats
on
that say like slut and like funny. Yeah.
Funny things.
But, quote
just,
unquote funny that they're making fun of you.
I feel like you better have really good food, and I know you
don't.
No,
it's
they
mediocre.
Yeah,
I've been before. I think I went whenever I went to Las Vegas for like the first time, and it was just like, let's just stop here to get. And they're extremely rude.
Yeah.
Like, here's your fucking Mountain Dew.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you guys ever been to Ed DeBevick's in Chicago, which I think is closed now?
No.
It was that along those same lines where they're intentionally mean to you, but they did it in a good way. I think Dick's like kind of misses the mark personally, and I don't enjoy it. But Ed DeBevick's is like diner food, and it's really good, like greasy diner food. So the food's amazing. Everyone is in like 50s style diner outfits. So they're
that's
like
pretty cool.
More of a character, but they make fun of you as well. And they're like, that's a stupid order. Or, like, that's a disgusting milkshake. And they'll throw out
like
little
harmless
things, but
things.
It's more fun. Yeah. And they're not like, you're a slut and put a weird hat on your head. So
I
think
they
did it right.
Theme restaurant wise, my guilty pleasure is Bubba Gump's Shrimp Company.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
I love
I
it too.
Love going to Bubba Gump's. I love getting the seafood sampler, and I love playing the Forrest Gump trivia.
Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
Yes, absolutely.
And you have the little signs on your table. If you need your waiter to come, you
run,
say like
Forrest,
stop.
Run,
yeah, run,
stop,
Forrest,
run,
or stop, Forrest, stop.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
So
and
the, cute.
They play like great music. They play like
CCR.
The
soundtrack.
And,
it's the soundtrack
like,
to that movie.
The soundtrack
is
amazing.
Yeah, this place is awesome.
It's
it was
so
a two disc set.
Yes.
Was it?
It
the
really
soundtrack?
Was. Yes.
Yes, it was.
Well, yes,
we
it
owned
was.
It.
It was a two disc set.
I have it.
That's
or
what
I
remember.
It. I don't remember if I have it anymore. But.
Oh, you have it. You got it in your car. You listen to it all the time.
You might be correct.
need to take a step back.
You get away from me.
All right, so let's get to the haunted stuff.
Ooh,
yeah. Spooky. This is more of like a bar slash restaurant.
Yeah,
some okay. of them are both establishments. Yes. But there is the Horse You Came In On Saloon, which is in Baltimore, Maryland. It is supposedly where like one of Edgar Allan Poe's favorite watering holes.
So
he is just basically seen to be or said to be seen there quite often. I think it was the last place that he was seen alive before he died. So that's just like his haunt, I guess you could say. But they
his
have
haunt
like
in life and death.
Yes.
They have like Philly cheesesteak, Wild West wings, crab cake bites, you know, bites. Like typical Maryland fare, I feel like. There's also, I mean, obviously New Orleans is, there's like just tons of places.
They're all haunted.
They're all haunted.
Every building.
You can have an Applebee's in New Orleans.
I did want to mention this one because I have been to this particular one and I think it's called Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop.
Okay.
It's right on Bourbon Street. It's like one of the very first bars you get to. It literally just, I mean, it was built in the 1770s. So it's just like it's like a log cabin.
Yeah.
Okay. There is barely any electricity.
I was going to say,
whatsoever.
What about running
water? I know.
There was a toilet. I did go to the bathroom.
Okay.
So there's running water. But I feel like the only electricity I was trying to like replay it in my mind was like the cash register. Everything else is candles. There's no jukebox. It's a piano.
That's fun.
It's an experience, let me tell you. And that was one of the other places that, like, you know, it's kind of like Ashley's house. Like, I feel, like, creeped out going there, and I know some shit has gone down. Yeah, but I don't see anything.
But it's also one of those things where it's like, but also, you didn't do anything to make this atmosphere less creepy.
Right.
With your candlelight.
So it's like just ridiculous. So the no electricity thing, the ghost of Jean Lafitte himself has been seen in dark corners. There's also apparently a female ghost I don't remember being able to go upstairs at all. I just remember like the one floor, but apparently there's a female ghost upstairs who has said to have ended her own life in the 1890s. And apparently there are some phantom red eyes that you can like see in a corner. And look at this. Just red eyes in the dark corner of the bar. Like, that's what I wrote.
It's totally fine.
It's totally fine.
Really
everything's fine.
I feel like if this was Bourbon Street in New Orleans in the 1800s, a woman taking her life upstairs, she was probably a sex worker.
Yep.
It was probably a brothel at some point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that would not surprise me.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
There's also a sign outside that says, it's one of like the America's oldest bars.
Really?
So I just thought I was a complete badass drinking in one of America's oldest bars.
Yeah.
That's it's very amazing. Cool.
I would love to do that.
It's like the coolest thing. But Bourbon Street,
just want to go to New Orleans.
I would be okay if I never went back.
Really?
Really?
It's just crazy. It's just crazy overwhelming. Like,
did you go like during Mardi Gras?
No.
Really?
It was just like a regular day.
And it was still super
and it's
busy and
so
wild.
Crazy
wow.
and smelly and everything is sticky. And I mean but
the
that's what you go
there
for.
Alone.
Like that's,
yeah.
I knew what I was walking into.
Yes.
I knew it.
Yeah. No one goes to New Orleans for like, I just like minimalism. And
no.
Yeah.
But then we also did like the cemetery tour and like of that cool shit. So it's just like, you guys got to go.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
amazing.
I've always wanted to go.
I've always wanted to go
oh,
too.
Oh my God.
But I'm like, what day of the year can I go where it's not humid?
Never
None
you can
days?
Never go
okay.
I'm not good with humidity.
And you know, since
no,
we are technically
either.
Talking about food, the food
oh yeah
so
Jesus
good.
Christ
oh, I would love
I
it.
It
oh my gosh, so good. Also, another New Orleans restaurant haunt is Muriel's. This Muriel's. Is it has like a long, you know, New Orleans is an old city. 1788, there was actually a fire that like burned the building. So I'm sure there's some accidents that have to do with that. Yeah. Well, that was obviously a tragedy. And it said a portion of Pierre Philippe. Oh, gosh, I'm going to butcher all of this
we
stuff.
Always,
I should have
okay.
I'm going to really try my, you know, with my French accent. The mansion was burnt. During the next decade, the city of New Orleans was in the rebuilding process, trying to recover from the fire. Spanish replaced what was left over. Pierre Anton Lepardieu. Why do they have like four names? Lepardieu Jordan built his dream home, restoring it to its original grandeur. So I think it's like a... It's a house.
Okay.
So they have different rooms.
And like one is like a restaurant, sort of, one's a bar.
Yeah. So it's more of like a house type instead of like your typical like open air.
Right.
There's a couple of places in LA that are like that. There's the, I think it's called Magnolia House in Pasadena. There's also, there's a place in Santa Monica that's an old house.
Something like that. We want to say it starts with a V, but there's three floors and they're all different
bars. Yeah, and it's like a restaurant, but the bottom, the basement one is like supposedly the dark one with the
live music and it looks spooky.
It looks real creepy down there. Like anyways, go on.
Yeah, but they have a seance lounge on the second floor.
What?
I mean, isn't that just amazing? This is said to where Jordan spends the majority of his time. Of course, patrons and employees of Muriel's have witnessed stuff moving and, you know, all of that like normal paranormal type stuff.
Lights going on and off.
Yeah, it's like March of 2001. Activity. Glasses have flown from behind the bar 12 feet across the brick wall. Like just crazy things. They've also had a lot of paranormal investigations there. So there's like a lot of documented, you know, EVPs and happenings and stuff like that. But
this is Muriel's still?
Yeah.
Muriel's.
I gotta remember that. I did not go there. Let's see. It's gotta be, French Quarter area. I didn't even know this place. I mean, there's so many places. Everywhere's haunted. We've already had this. We've already had this conversation.
No.
So yeah, it's just said those who have seen or felt a presence have never felt threatened though. It's not like a threatening type thing. Right. It's just like all in good fun, I want to say. Just like... Oh, this is the place where they have a table there reserved for him, Mr. Jordan.
I like that.
They have a bread and wine.
Sitting out for him.
That's so cool. And that's like advertised on the website. Like that's part of their thing.
So. Can you imagine people going in and being like, can we have a table for two? And they're like, we don't have anything. And they're like, well, what about that one right there? It's like, oh, no, no, that's reserved for our ghost.
The ghost sits like,
excuse me?
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Be like, hey, trust me. You want to sit at that table?
Right.
See what happens?
Yeah.
Sure.
There is also Old Town Pizza in Portland, Oregon, which is said to be haunted. And I know I'm going to say this Nina, but it's pronounced Nina. That's what it says on the website. So I don't want to be like disrespectful. She was, you know, in the world's oldest profession. She was a prostitute. And it was a brothel before it was an actual restaurant. So obviously there's just like a lot of stuff
going on there. Yeah, there's some energy.
So she is said to be seen there a lot while, you know, patrons are getting the, you know, getting your pizza in Portland, Oregon, just hanging out with ghosts.
With Nina.
Oh, it says so it used to be a hotel. The window where you place your order is the original hotel's reception desk. So like you go up and it's kind of like,
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So got a lot of history there.
What's it called? Old Town Pizza?
Old Town Pizza in Portland, Oregon.
All right.
Yeah. She got thrown down the elevator shaft.
Nina?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Dang.
Yeah.
Do we know who did it?
No.
Murder mystery
at Old Town Pizza.
It's just like the Biltmore Hotel with the woman at the New Year's, was it New Year's Eve party or something? Got pushed down a flight of stairs and died.
Oh God.
I know. Spooky.
Who knows who did it?
This one's a little bit more lighthearted. I know. You know what we're talking about.
I love haunted
wrench starts. But it's called Pugin's Porch in Charleston, South Carolina. Pugin is a little pooch. He's a little doggy. So apparently whenever they little wiry haired dog named Pugin was left behind. And so he got left behind and then he just kind of stayed even after.
So it's a dog ghost.
Yeah.
I love
that. Isn't that so? It's
I want to be haunted by a dog. I've decided.
Was gonna be Can showing up on the port. This was, you know, when he was living. But and then, you know, they kind of started feeding him. Right. And he was just kind of like the little local.
He was like their mascot.
Guy. Yeah. But Pugin is not the only ghost that is said to be there. There's also another ghost that they call Zoe. She lived there with her sister Elizabeth, and she was a teacher.
Hey.
Hey, here I am. Girl. It's believed that she is like wandering around looking for her grave. She's haunting her old home thinking that
maybe she that doesn't know she's dead.
Maybe she doesn't know that she's dead.
Probably.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to Lump Mansion.
Yay.
Somebody that we all like, you know, we're all grew up stories about it. It has a, I didn't even realize like how tragic
horrible
the family history was. We're talking about the
Lump Mansion in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, everyone dies.
Everybody dies.
Tell me the story.
It is insane. John Adam Lump arrived in St. Louis from Germany in 1838. Originally wanted to be a grocer, just have like a grocery store. But his store was unique for its ability to supply beer. It's a brewery mm-hmm. also. So he learned how to brew beer and started brewing beer out of the building. St. Louis industry was born.
Yeah, St. Louis blew up at that time.
Biggest thing. William J. Lump succeeded his father as head of the brewery, and he soon built it into an industrial giant. So this was in 1864. Size of the brewery grew in demand, and in 1870, it was the largest brewery in St. Louis. This is when, like, things started to go downhill. Just a little bit, because they had all this wealth and power. They had a big share of the market until Prohibition.
Yeah.
Okay. The first major, how do I want to say this, disaster in the Lump family was when Frederick Lump, William's favorite son and the heir to the brewery presidency, died under mysterious circumstances in 1901. So like they still don't even really know why he died. And then 3 years later, William J. Lump shot himself in the head in the bedroom at the family mansion that, you know, you still go and have drinks and dinner at.
Just a normal
stay
evening.
Or stay the night, because it is also like a bed and breakfast. Right. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I've never been like at all.
I love the Lump Mansion.
It's literally 45 minutes from my driveway.
Yeah, you need to go.
I've never been. And this is silly. Tragedy continued to stalk the Lumps. The brewery fortunes continued to decline. Of course, Prohibition happened. William Jr.'s sister, Elsa, who was considered one. I mean, obviously, the Lump name was just like huge at this point in St. Louis. She committed suicide in 1920. The Lump Brewery was once valued at $7 million in 1922, and then it sold at auction for like $500,000.
Wow.
So they like lost a bunch of money. It's just like tragedy after tragedy.
Like
death. We're losing all of this money. Yeah. And I feel like this is confusing because there's so many William Lumps. So William J. Lump, then, after presiding over the sale of this, shot himself in the same building where his father died. Mm-hmm. So all of these people are dying in these buildings. And then his son, William Lump III, was 42 when he had died of a heart attack in 1943.
It's cursed.
There's like none of them left. William Jr.'s brother, Charles, continued to stay at the house after his brother's suicide, but he was a recluse.
Yeah, he never left
the mansion. Also died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Yeah, also shot himself in the face.
Yeah, discovered by his brother, Edwin. But then in 1970, Edwin Lump died of natural causes at the age of 90. So things are looking up.
Finally, a normal one.
Things are looking up.
Natural causes at age 90.
But this is just like a place where you can do like just go to dinner and get drinks and hang out just like a normal restaurant at the Lump Mansion. Like, and then around Halloween time, or I don't know if they do tours year round.
Yeah, they do year round tours. They have haunted tours year round.
I feel like they also have like murder mystery dinners, question mark?
I have no idea. I don't know about that.
If they don't, they should.
Yeah, if they don't.
I mean, they definitely could.
But yeah, you can stay in the rooms. It's like a bed and breakfast. Yeah. They have haunted tours. And the haunted tours, they basically take you from room to room. They tell you all about the history of the Limp Mansion and the Limp family. And then in each room, they tell you some of the crazy stuff that has taken place in that room, paranormal wise.
Well, and we could do, whenever I was just researching that, like, you could do an entire episode on that family.
You
like,
really
it was,
could.
It was really difficult for me to just, like, condense all of that down. I mean, there was a website that it was just, like, pages and pages, because it's all documented, because they were such a famous family, so everything is everywhere.
They were a famous cursed family. Yes. I don't know. I don't even think, like, the building is cursed. I think the family was cursed
for sure. And then they just like haunt it because they'll never gonna
like,
leave.
You know what? Our life was horrible, so we're gonna keep,
we're gonna haunt the shit out of you.
Going. We're gonna haunt the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm. When you said you'd been there, have you just eaten there? Or did you stay there?
I just ate and drank there.
Okay, that's still.
I just went
that's
to
awesome.
The brewery portion. I haven't taken a haunted
and
tour,
I don't think that they actually brew beer anymore. Like it's still
It's still like it's called Limp Mansion or Limp Brewery. Some people call it Limp Brewery, but I don't think they brew their own beer.
Okay.
I think they just have beer on tap.
Just have drinks.
Yeah. In a tap room. So I chose to talk about food conspiracy.
I am so excited.
I can't wait.
I thought maybe I'd find one or two, but holy guacamole, I may never eat again.
I feel like I'm just going to be shot in shock and awe this entire time.
I know.
I have
kinda
some
nervous.
Short ones and I have like some major ones and I'm going to, I think I am. I'm going to start with the biggest one and the one that most people know about but may not know too much about. And it isn't what you eat, it's what you drink.
Oh, no.
Okay.
The conspiracy is that governments put fluoride in our water supply in order to negatively affect huge populations for their own gain. Another part of the conspiracy is that fluoride is actually a strong tranquilizer in disguise. The U.S. wants us all to be zombies, that all the major food corporations, Kellogg's, Nestle, or even like products like Crest are all in on it. Even that fluoride dumping is secretly a part of the Illuminati's interest.
Oh, my gosh.
So where this began, and it actually does have pretty kind of like suspicious and nefarious beginnings. So okay. I get it. So Dr. Frederick McKay was pressing the dental community to investigate what was known as the Colorado brown stain. So this is in 1909. 2,945 children were examined by Dr. McKay, and 87.5% of them had some degree of stain on their teeth, like a brown stain on their teeth. All the affected children were from the Pikes Peak region. And despite the stains and the physical appearance of their teeth, the children with the stained teeth had much fewer cavities than other children.
Oh.
So they went about trying to figure out why their teeth seemed to be better despite looking worse. And they looked into all sorts of things. And a company called Alcoa got involved. And apparently the company with the biggest profit to be made from water fluoridation was Alcoa. Alcoa stands for the Aluminum Company of America.
Okay.
Now, the Alcoa Corporation is an industrial corporation. It's the world's eighth largest producer of aluminum. They operate in 10 countries. They participate in literally all major aspects of industry, technology, mining, refining, fabricating, recycling, etc.
All of it.
An Alcoa-sponsored biochemist did a test on rats that showed that cavities were reduced with fluoridated water. So this was in 1939, and it was the first public proposal that the U.S. should fluoridate its water supplies. And the proposal wasn't made by a doctor or a dentist, by an industry scientist working for a company that was also threatened by fluoride damage claims.
Okay.
Now, why would they be threatened by fluoride damage claims?
Right.
Well, during World War II, industrial fluoride pollution increased because of the production and extensive use of aluminum, specifically Alcoa aluminum, in aircraft manufacturing. And it was just after World War II that many governments began to put fluoride in our water supplies to, quote, protect people from cavities. But it could have been that our water was already polluted with fluoride.
Right.
And there was no way to get it out. So oh. they said, oh, no, we're putting it in for your safety for your, now. Yeah. But really, but our water supply had been polluted
with it already.
With huh. it already.
Right.
So that's probably what's going on. So currently,
suspicious.
Yeah. Currently, about 6% of the world's population receives artificially fluoridated water in about 24 countries. Since the 1950s, there have been relentless debate over whether there's any real reason to do this. Mm-hmm. Early conspiracies claimed it was a communist plot to weaken the American public health. Many have argued from a moral and ethical standpoint that the public haven't chose to be consuming it.
Right.
So it's against individual will. From an economic standpoint, like from an economic view, public money is being used for something without definitive proof that there that are benefits.
Right. That it's doing anything.
Yeah. Good. Some top dentists and medical professionals have even said that fluoridation of water isn't the best way to prevent tooth decay. So why well, are we like why do it? Doing
like
it?
I'm swishing my water around in my mouth.
Right.
Yeah. Like
we're just, I'm just going no, straight through going, the mouth.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get into the belly.
Down for hydration purposes.
Yes, like exactly. What,
why?
This, yeah, that's very
so
weird.
So it's very strange that we still do it. Especially when most dentists are like, yeah, it's,
yeah,
not.
It's not necessary.
Yeah, like, this yeah there are really other
there are
thing.
Better ways to like yeah. prevent cavities.
100%.
Well, it gets even crazier when oh, a chemist and researcher Charles E. Perkins wrote a book on water fluoridation, cleverly titled "The Truth About Water Fluoridation."
What a quality title!
What a title!
In which he wrote one line in the whole book. It's a whole book, but one line said. Mass medication involving fluoridation of public water systems has long been known as an important technique of the communist philosophy of mass control.
Wow.
Then a magazine writer, Ian E. Stevens, said that Charles E. Perkins told him that the Nazis envisioned a far-reaching plan of mass control and reduced population by using a medication in water that could cause sterility in women.
Mm.
No from thanks. Those two things, people went, bonkers yeah, over this conspiracy theory. There are claims everywhere that fluoride in water was started in concentration camps and that Hitler used it on Jewish neighborhoods to make them easier to control and capture. However, pretty much every single Nazi historian says this isn't true. So I think we can throw out
yeah.
that
sweep theory. That one under.
Yeah. This chemist did say, however, and this is a direct quote from him, from Charles E. Perkins. I say this with all the earnestness and sincerity of a scientist who has spent nearly 20 years research into chemistry, biochemistry, physiology, and pathology of fluorine. Any person who drinks artificially fluorinated water for a period of 1 year or more will never be the same person mentally or physically. So that's reassuring since I've been drinking it since I was born
right.
for
yeah.
31 years.
I know.
No kidding.
Cool. I feel great.
Yeah. The New Age community also condemns fluoride consumption. They believe fluoride is instrumental in mind control because they insist that it blocks the third eye.
Oh.
Mystics and spiritualists have concluded that the pineal gland, situated in the center of the brain, is the connection between the body and the soul. Well, this actually has kind of science to back it up. Not the body and soul connection thing, yeah. but the fact that fluoride could actually have... negative effects on this.
Yeah.
There is science to back that up. In the 1990s, a British scientist named Jennifer Luke discovered that by old age, the pineal gland contains about the same amount of fluoride as teeth do.
Oh.
So it's going to your pineal gland.
Yeah.
It's not just in your teeth.
It's going other places.
It's going other places in your body. And we now know that the calcification of the pineal gland gets worse with age and can start to occur in children as young as 2. Mm. Now, this gland in the brain, well, it's in the brain and it maintains the body's sleep-wake cycle. It regulates puberty in girls especially. It helps protect the body from cell damage. And in 2006, there was a huge review on fluoride toxicity published by the National Research Council, and they wrote about a range of negative side effects, including decreased melatonin production, so our sleep is way worse,
right.
And other effects on normal pineal function, which could contribute to a variety of effects in humans, and fluoride directly affects the pineal
all
gland.
Wow.
So...
seems like a lot of our problems could be solved.
Seems like if we just took fluoride out. But honestly, I think there's no way to. Many studies of fluoride research by Harvard and China Medical University in Shanghai have shown that fluoride may be linked to reduced IQ in children and even suggest it could be toxic to a developing brain. Fluoride at high levels has destroyed the male reproductive system in rabbits. It lowers thyroid function. One study linked it to bone cancer in boys. Ugh. The professors and groups doing this research have been met with numerous attempts to discredit them. Several of them have had their research of water fluoridation rejected from dental health journals completely. Like, not even
just completely added. Rejected.
Yep. On top of all of this, 10 years ago, New York, oh, I'm sorry, not New York. 10 years ago, York University found that tooth decay in children across Europe had fallen regardless of whether or not there was fluoride in the water. In fact, the countries that showed the biggest decrease were Sweden, the Netherlands, Finland, and Denmark, all of which do not fluoridate their water supply.
I really feel like they are doing things right.
Yeah.
Just in general.
We need
I just
to
want
take
to throw
notes.
That out there.
I
they
know.
Have gun control laws. Mm-hmm.
I think
they
don't
fluoridate their water.
They don't put
top
in
notch.
The
their schools.
They're eating correctly.
Yeah. You know.
Like all of the above.
Yeah.
We suck.
Meanwhile, we have heart attack girl.
The heart attack girl. Good
there
for us.
There seems to be very little reason to fluoridate our water supply. So why are these companies so insistent
right.
on doing so? Is it because of World War II and the fact that we had so much fluoride pollution that it's in our system anyway? There's no way to get it out and they just have to say they're putting it in for our own good. Does it make us docile? Does it have negative effects? This one is a tough one, though, because, you know, dentists and doctors at one time promoted cigarettes.
That's
yeah.
Like
insane cigarettes
to
were
me.
Healthy.
Uh-huh.
And we,
you know, like cocaine and.
Oh, yeah. Cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cocaine.
They're like,
and
it's
stuff.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It suppresses your appetite. Help you,
we put, weight. Yeah, we put lead in all our paint till like the 70s. Yeah. I mean, even like formaldehyde used to be put in textiles to prevent creases. Like
that's
our
so
clothes
nuts.
Used to have formaldehyde.
Oh, my
in
gosh.
Them.
I did not know
yeah.
that.
That's so nutty.
Which is very bad for us. Unfortunately, like the fluoride thing could be something that we have to look back on in the future
right.
and we'll
be
to
like,
find out.
Yeah.
That
remember
it had,
when
like,
we had
horrible
fluoride in the
negative
water.
Effects.
Negative
yeah.
effects.
Why did Leslie like, Knope want fluoride in the water in Parks and Recreation?
Well, because it's dentists say that it helps your teeth, that it's like
yes.
prevents cavities. That's like
the whole
that's reason the whole for
lie
it.
That
but there's a lot of dentists who say like not
Nuh-uh.
Really, like not. It doesn't help enough to have
to make
fluoride
it worth
in
it.
Your water.
I remember going to the dentist and getting fluoride treatments,
same.
Though.
Yeah.
Like the, I felt like that was.
Didn't
like
you have
the
to
foamy,
bite down
the
on the foamy
thing?
Thing?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
I hated
I think
that part.
But I feel
those,
like that's different than just like
yeah.
small, minute traces of it in your
in
water.
Water
it's probably
that you're
not going to make a
switching
difference.
Around,
yeah,
because like
there is fluoride. Like there's enough of like a toxic level of fluoride that you can't have, that humans can't have.
Yeah.
So if
like
I drink
anything.
Like a gallon of, you know, tap water, what's the toxic level? Like
yeah.
how do you measure that out?
Exactly.
So anyways, fluoride's fucked up.
Yeah.
While we're on the subject of...
Bless
ooh,
you.
Oh, bless you, Wilder.
You, baby sneeze.
While we're on the subject of liquids, so there was a conspiracy theory. This is actually... Some of these are conspiracy theories that came true, and this
oh,
is one of them.
Great. I can't wait for this.
There was a conspiracy theory that the government poisoned alcohol to keep people from drinking it during Prohibition.
Yes, they sure
and
shit
they
did.
No, are you
yes.
kidding me?
They 1,000% mm-hmm. did.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't find out about it until I read Water for Elephants.
Oh.
Oh, shit,
read,
that's right. Mm-hmm.
And
they
it's
did
in that.
I read Water for Elephants,
yeah.
and then I was like, what?
Wait, was it enough poison to kill people
yes.
or just make you very
many
sick?
Many people
oh
died.
My golly gosh, that's
yeah.
insane.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturers of industrial alcohol had been mixing their product with dangerous chemicals for years before Prohibition. It was just like a cheaper way to like
yeah.
get people fucked up.
Sure.
But between 1926 and 1933, the federal government pushed manufacturers to use stronger poisons to discourage bootleggers from turning the alcohol into moonshine.
Mm.
Well, it didn't stop anyone because America is one big floozy. And by the end of Prohibition,
yes.
more than 10,000 of us had been killed by tainted booze, thanks to the old U.S. of A. government.
Oh my gosh. That's so crazy that they did that.
Yeah, we've done some stuff.
We've done some bad
another shit. Fun. This one's not proven, but it is a conspiracy theory. I don't know if I believe it, but we'll see. This is another liquids. This is one I legit want an answer to, and I need everyone who works at Starbucks to write us immediately.
Oh my God.
The conspiracy theory is that Starbucks horribly and most of the time hilariously misspells your name on your to-go cup so that you'll take a photo of it, post it to social media, and therefore have just, without your knowledge, given Starbucks some free advertising. I 100% believe that's
true. Yeah, I absolutely believe that's true. Honestly, it's
genius. Yes. Yeah, because sometimes they're so off. So bad.
And it's like, I know you don't think that's how you spell Lauren. Like, yeah. The easiest name to spell. I've gotten like L-E-R-Y-N before, and I'm Laren. Like, no one has ever thought that's how Lauren is spelled.
No. That's the thing. There can't be that many dumb people working at Starbucks.
Right. No.
And I get it. Like, there are times where, you know, I would have to work at the, like, cafe connected to Barnes & Noble.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, it's loud in there and you're ringing people up and you ask their name and you don't quite hear it. But, like, you repeat it back. Mistakes. It takes 30 seconds to be like, Lauren?
Right. 100%. Yeah.
There just can't be that many stupid people.
Is it learn? Is that what you said?
Is it learn? I don't drink at Starbucks, so like it's never really happened to me.
I don't go there
often
anymore.
But I see it posted on on social media. Everyone posts their cup all the time.
Everyone posts the cup. Yeah. There's
I totally believe that.
Somebody that does the Aladdin experiment, they say that their name is Aladdin every time they go into a Starbucks and they always spell it wrong. But I mean, it's like, of course, that's just like for funnies.
That's for funsies.
Shits and gigs. Yeah. But, you know, they spell.
I feel like if... No, I guess. No, I would know. I was going to say, I feel like if someone said their name was Aladdin, maybe I wouldn't immediately think of Disney's Aladdin. But like, fucking yes, I would.
Yes,
like,
I would. I 100%
what else are you going to think of?
I would immediately be like, flying carpet. Like, I'd go, I'd go there in my head.
Aboo.
Aboo. Yeah.
Aboo.
Okay, so this one's pretty wild. I don't know exactly what's going on here, but something is... going on. Something's amiss.
I said it.
Did like, you really?
First word I wanted to say. We both went amiss.
Here we go.
Okay, so Chipotle.
Alrighty.
Oh, no, I eat there a lot. I'm terrified.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Chipotle has had a number of food poisoning outbreaks.
I know,
but like, I still eat there all the damn time, even though everyone around me is falling ill.
Okay, yeah, continue. Like really bad ones.
I've never
like,
gotten sick, E. though.
E. coli, yeah. So, most notoriously in 2015, they had outbreaks of norovirus, salmonella, and E. coli all within a few months. And then the same thing happened again in 2017.
Yes, oh my I remember gosh. The 2017 one.
So the outbreak in 2017 sickened more than 100 customers in Virginia alone. And seeing as it was the second time it's happened on a major scale, it renewed the speculation that there was a conspiracy theory that Chipotle was the target of corporate sabotage.
Oh,
okay.
And before you that's kind of like roll your eyes and say, or maybe it's just Mexican fast food that makes you sick. There are other reasons why people think that there's some corporate sabotage. So the theory first emerged in 2015 when the E. coli outbreak was tied to Chipotle restaurants across 14 states. And the theory originally was that parties shorting Chipotle stock, which for anyone who is like me and doesn't understand or care about the stock exchange. Shit. Yeah. Okay. It means that these people stand to gain financially when the chain shares plummet.
Oh,
so when you short a stock, you can buy into a stock, which means like if their stock
amount,
goes up,
you make money.
That's the only one that I understand.
Yeah.
When you tell me other words, I'm like,
who?
Just
like Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah. That's all I know. That's
if you say Leonardo DiCaprio, I will not.
Yes. You can also short a stock. So you benefit if the stock plummets.
Okay. Oh, alright.
I didn't know that was a thing. Okay.
Yes. So this was part of the conspiracy theory with 9/11 because the airlines that flew into and I don't remember what it was. Yeah. I don't remember airline it was that flew into the World Trade Center. Their stock plummeted the day before.
Okay.
So it's gosh, almost as know. If people were selling their stock in this airline because they knew that
the insiders knew what was going
a plane
happen.
was going to crash into the building, which is kind of like, excuse me.
Very fishy. Yeah.
So anyway, so shorting a stock.
Okay, got it.
What that means.
I'm on board.
It's a theory that these people or parties orchestrated the illness outbreaks by planting harmful bacteria in Chipotle restaurants. And the reason this was the theory is that Chipotle short sellers were rewarded with $55 million in less than a day after the second outbreak happened.
Oh my God.
So, wowzers.
That is super suspicious.
But here is when it gets kind of fishy. The details surrounding the outbreaks don't really add up. So, for example, in 2015, 60% of this type of outbreak took place between December and May, while Chipotle's were from August to December. So it doesn't seem like it was a specific vegetable, like when stores say to throw out your romaine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Also, Chipotle had four times as many norovirus outbreaks expected for a chain its size, and each incident of foodborne illness sickened far more people than is common. It's like unprecedented for so many illness outbreaks to be linked to a single food chain.
Higher concentration of whatever it was.
Well, actually, so it should be noted, maybe, if there's a conspiracy, that Chipotle is the only fast food company that has publicly denounced GMOs.
Okay.
So this is another theory, possibly.
Okay.
Add to that that some of these E. coli outbreaks involved a rare genetic strain of E. coli not normally seen in foods.
Oh. Okay. So it's like so made bizarre. In a lab.
Yeah.
Yes.
This was like created.
This virus was created in the lab and planted there.
And somehow
that's so weird.
Got into E. coli or in Chipotle.
Chipotle because they denounced GMOs.
Right.
So
it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, this really is all quickly, adding up now.
Yeah, I get it. I got it.
There's also a ton of conspiracy theories with GMOs. GMOs are genetically modified food or crops. The O stands for organism. So genetically modified.
I truly
organism.
Never knew what it stood for. You hear GMO
all
the time.
I have a general idea, but I don't really know for sure.
Okay.
Educate me.
Now we're on board.
And a lot of genetic engineering with GMOs are gene transfers within the same species, across species, and even across kingdoms. So genetically splicing one kind of corn with another type of corn.
Because
so you can have bigger stocks of corn that last longer. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not like
it's
crazy.
It's like better for the weather.
Yeah, you're not mixing corn with human DNA to make
corn. You're not doing anything.
No, you're just like kind of cross-pollinating almost, but with genetics. So those aren't bad at all. Crops are also engineered for herbicide tolerance, insect resistance, and in some cases even engineered with genes that increase its nutritional value. So there are some sort of rice. I think it's golden rice was literally genetically modified to have like a crazy amount of nutritional value, which helps in the region that it's grown.
Which is not, because it's cheap and
it's
readily
cheap,
available.
But very nutritious.
But normal rice doesn't
all sounds great, but it's kind of the same with fluoride. We don't know how it's affected humans or the environment in the long run.
Okay.
So unsure if the food is safe for consumption, whether they could provoke an allergic reaction, whether the transgenes could transfer into human cells. We don't know. Also, gene flow between GM crops and compatible plants, along with the increased use of herbicides, can increase the rise of herbicide resistant weed populations. The resistance to insecticides could lead to the evolution of resistant insects and pests.
Yep.
So like in the long run,
we don't really know.
We don't know how it's going to work out. A lot of conspiracy theories believe that large agribusinesses are working to undermine the health and safety of the general public by introducing and promoting GMOs in the food supply. Infiltrating or buying off the FDA and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, who both have supported the scientific evidence for the safety of genetically engineered food. Now, just my opinion, I think GMOs are fine.
Yeah.
They're overall a good thing, just like vaccinations are a good thing. Like, do we want our crops to have the potential to survive a nuclear winter? Yes. Do we want our children to survive the first grade? Yes.
Right. I'm with you.
I'm with you on that. And if that means that a child gets autism, which is literally proven to not be a factor, but let's say it was,
let's say
honestly,
it's true.
Like, okay.
Hello.
Yeah.
What's the
But at least their body is going to be healthy and they're going to live. Yeah. I know. They're still going to be a wonderful human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even scientists are stumped by the anomalies surrounding Chipotle's illness outbreaks. Chipotle conducted hundreds of tests on its food and preparation services, never identified a source of the E. coli outbreak. In five similar high-profile cases of major foodborne illness outbreaks over the past couple decades, the source was found pretty quickly. So is it Chipotle stock shorters? Is it GMO scientists? Was it the Illuminati?
Definitely the Illuminati.
1,000%.
I think the Denver airport was involved in some way, you know? Right? You know what I'm saying?
I guarantee there's a Chipotle in that airport.
I bet.
Probably.
Chipotle has said that they didn't believe in any of the conspiracy theories, so maybe it is just Mexican just fast food.
I know. Just happened because it's Mexican fast food.
Maybe it just happened.
And I just want everyone to know that even with all those theories, I will still continue to eat them on a weekly basis.
Absolutely.
I love myself a chicken bowl.
I can't. I love getting the the burrito bowls.
Yeah, I don't do the burritos. Yes. I do like the salads or the bowls.
Yeah, so I get a chicken burrito bowl. And every single time I have had Chipotle, I have had horrible diarrhea.
So does Alex. Every time, can we do Chipotle for dinner? He was like, oh, would you like me to live in our bathroom for the next 2 days? I'm like, no, good point.
Yeah.
I have a stomach of steel, I guess. I'm always good to go.
And I've tried like substituting things. I'm like, okay, I won't get the chicken then. I'll just get like the rice, beans, veggies. Nope. Diarrhea.
Sure, not happening.
Okay, well, I won't get the beans. Diarrhea. It does not fucking matter. I get diarrhea.
And you're not alone in that
either.
Like, Chipotle is the most popular diarrhea causer in the US of A. No, wait, that's Taco Bell. But Chipotle's second.
Oh, yeah.
I also love Taco Bell. Oh, I love Taco Bell. That's a good product.
Am I getting Taco Bell for lunch today? Maybe. I'm starving now. Hashtag trash again.
Hashtag trash.
Okay, I also have to say a side note really quick about Wilder. The whole time you've been talking, Ashley, he keeps looking over his shoulder and smiling. So I think your voice brings him comfort. Aww. And I just thought it was really adorable.
That's Wilder, so sweet.
My sweet boy.
He was like looking in your general direction and smirking. And I was like, do you hear Auntie Ashley?
Hi, Wilder. Yes, he sweet does. Boy.
It was just super adorable.
So cute.
I have one more.
Yay.
And this one's hilarious.
I cannot wait.
And it's all 100% completely true, which makes it funnier. Don't worry. You're not being poisoned or anything.
Okay, good.
So there was a conspiracy that fondue was not actually a craze that swept the world in the 70s.
What?
But that it was an engineered popular pastime just to sell cheese.
Okay, first of all, I love cheese.
So
I
love cheese so much.
How do you even have to make a ploy to
make surplus of cheese?
So surplus of cheese that people were not buying. Yes. So we need
melt
the cheese in a big pot and then make restaurants call the melting pot.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh my gosh, so, that's so funny.
I'll tell you how it happened because it's very funny. So basically after the First World War, Europe was destroyed. Switzerland was okay, but they had too much cheese.
Swiss cheese. My dreams. Yeah. Like, that is the place of my dreams.
Yeah. Swiss cheese was piling up, and the cheesemakers decided to form a cartel.
Which, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Cheese cartel.
Cheese cartel. That's literally what it was. It was a cheese cartel.
Oh.
So
that is amazing.
They had an agreement among competitors not to compete. So for decades, they set the price of milk. They had limited production. They restricted the kind of cheeses you could make in Switzerland. Like, there were like farmers who were trying to like make like Gruyere, like make different kind of cheeses. And like, you couldn't because it was the government was in on it. They were running the Swiss cheese cartel was like running the show.
I can't handle this.
Swiss cheese cartel.
They're literally known as the Swiss Cheese Union.
Oh,
I am obsessed with that.
The cheese cartel grew more and more ambitious, and in the 50s and 60s, they decided they wanted to find a way to boost the demand, somehow get people to eat surplus Swiss cheese by the bucket. So they looked into a dish that they sometimes eat in the Alps. and the Swiss Cheese Union pushed it like crazy in the 70s. They had big ad campaigns of good-looking Swiss people in sweaters or ski attire partying over pots of cheese. Boom, fondue is
fondue
huge.
Is sweeping the nation, quote unquote. Yes.
Swept the nation.
Yeah. Oh man.
So of
this
course.
Is so funny.
Oh my gosh!
Can't believe
like
this is
best.
Real.
By the 1990s, the Swiss Cheese Union had collapsed. Switzerland finally got wise and was like, hey, why is our government spending so much money subsidizing cheese and fondue? And allegations of corruption came up and it was a whole debacle.
Cheese corruption.
Now, if you live in Switzerland, you can make whatever cheese you want. And they still specialize in fondue, and fondue is still really good for the cheese business. But it was not just like a craze that set fire. It was literally like it was conducted. It was like,
we got to get this cheese out.
Yes, exactly.
Got to get this cheese out.
They literally like had all this cheese, and they had these big advertisements, and like they would go to parties and stuff with like big names and serve fondue and get like the fondue in photographs. Yes. So it would be associated. Yeah. So they could sell cheese.
Man.
So,
love cheese conspiracy theories.
Some of the more serious conspiracies. Everyone's pretty much in agreement that the FDA sucks.
Yes.
When it comes to pharmaceuticals,
yeah,
they approve drug after drug that has horrific side effects. Yeah. And I mean horrific effects on the human body, all while keeping drugs that are legal and used effectively in other countries that treat things like cancer and AIDS and MS. They don't allow into our country. The FDA is political. There have been multiple testimonies following multiple lawsuits of associates with the FDA saying that their departments shouldn't offer recommendations that contradict their department's head, that senior management pressure them to change their conclusions on important tests, like Dr. David Graham, who said high doses of pain reliever, it was called Vioxx, yeah, increase the risk of heart attack, and his higher ups literally pressured him to alter his findings. And of course, the FDA denied it. So they continued to sell Vioxx.
It's so terrifying.
So why don't we also distress them with food?
Yeah.
Right.
That's so true.
We know that they
are they're
shitty
up to no good.
I didn't even.
And then we just are like, oh, they say the food's good.
Yeah. You say it's the Food and Drug Administration, but like I had always thought about it from
never
the
think about food.
Pharmaceutical aspect and not even
forget.
From the food aspect. Like that. Oh my God. No.
Yeah. If you
I
think
do
of
trust
the,
them with
yeah,
the food.
If you think of the FDA with pharmaceuticals, you immediately think big pharma.
All
you
the
immediately
lawsuits,
think the money
everything.
That they. Yeah. And it's
yeah,
like,
never
fuck
thinking
those guys.
About food. And we just trust and eat everything. Yeah. Like,
oh, this is recommended by the FDA. Yeah. All right, fine.
Then we're good.
Sure.
That's the thing. Everyone knows that there's extremely dangerous stuff in our food, especially processed food. In 30 years, rates of obesity have doubled in young children and adults. They've tripled in teenagers. And the FDA's intention is supposedly to help consumers lead healthier lives through better nutrition, and yet they won't put a health notice on a can of soda.
No.
My gosh.
So, like, how dedicated are they to helping us lead happier lives? Like, all they had to do is slap something on a can of Coke that says, like, hey, by the way,
sugar addiction
is
real.
There's a lot of sugar in this, blah, 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 blah.
It's
but they won't
the
because
best.
Do you know who gives the FDA a lot of money? Coca-Cola.
Exactly.
So it's like, we should not trust the FDA in any way, shape, or form.
No.
That's such a good point.
It really is.
Or anyone. Just don't trust anyone. That's
don't trust
that's how I'm gonna end this episode. Just like don't fucking trust people.
No.
Nope.
Especially
everyone's
if
lying
they
to
work
you.
For the
government.
Yeah. Or any government. I'm not like anti-government, anti-USA government. I'm anti like any government.
Yeah, like any.
I'm immediately like, I've seen 1984.
I know. We know the
know
truth.
I've seen V for Vendetta.
We know what you're up to.
We know what you're doing behind those curtains on your big screens. Anyways, that's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Natalie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
I had so much fun. I had so much fun.
It
just feels like I've been listening. I mean, literally since the beginning, I feel like I should be starstruck, but I've known you forever. So, so like that doesn't even mean, but as soon as Ashley was like, so when you come out here, you want to be on the, yes.
Yes. Do.
Don't
yes,
even finish I that do. Sentence. Absolutely I'm coming do. On the podcast. Well, and I've been hearing about you for so long. So it was such a pleasure yes. to finally I meet know. You. I mean, and you like are such
already,
a joy.
I already know you.
Yeah, we're already friends. Best friends. It's so fine. It's fine.
Yeah. What am I, chopped liver?
Yes, pretty much.
Sitting over here. You guys are having your moment.
Basically.
Yeah, you're fine too, Ashley.
Okay.
You're okay. Yeah.
We love you.
Do you want anyone to follow you on Instagram?
It's a valid question.
Sure.
Yeah. Follow like Natalie on Instagram to keep up with her adventures as a teacher in Southern Illinois.
Yeah. Nacho.Natalie.
Nacho.Natalie.
Yep. I also would like Nacho to say Natalie. At the moment, Natalie walked into my life. I screamed Nacho Natalie at her face because I knew that was her Instagram
it's
handle.
Nacho
I had I was a drink in, so I was feeling a little tipsy and I was like, Nacho Natalie's hair flipped out.
And everybody's like, what?
Yeah,
the
like everyone
hell
was like,
is
Lauren is being insane as per usual. So not even blinking.
Well, it was funny because like you could say Nacho Natalie and maybe like that it was a Halloween party, just yeah. for anyone listening, and people would think like, oh, maybe she dressed as a nacho. And no. then Natalie no. walks in dressed as Axl Rose. It's yeah. like, why are you yelling Nacho Natalie at Axl Rose?
Who is this girl?
Nacho Natalie. Yeah, it was great.
So thank you, listeners, obviously, for tuning into our show as per usual. Mm-hmm. We love you very much.
Thank you. You're the best.
And one day your dreams can come true. You can be on the show.
You can come be on the show.
Talk about whatever listener. The fuck you want.
Yep. That's right.
You can follow us on social media at Keep It Weird Cast across all platforms. You can check out our Patreon page if you want to donate to the show and get bonus episodes and monthly newsletters by
also,
going to
Ashley's newsletters are the shit. I just have to you say your last one was one. So yeah. so good. I just
thank
have
you.
To give you props. You're
thank
amazing.
You. www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast is where you go for that. And if you ever want like a sample newsletter, holla at your girl. I'll let you take a peek. If you want some Keep It Weird merch, head over to our Etsy page, www.etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast. We have shirts and hoodies and bags and buttons and magnets and patches and that's it.
That's all. And they're so cute.
And yes. they're very cute.
Very.
Natalie, what's our sign off this week?
Oh, God. I don't know. Because as soon as we started the episode, I was like, shit, that's my job. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was one of my jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it I mean,
I feel like it should be like some big like Italian man going
oh
like,
God,
ah,
I'm oh, really bad
a
at the voice.
A bon appetit.
A pepperoni.
I keep it the weird.
I keep it the
like
weird.
Like,
bon appetit.
Mwah. Delish.
Delish. A spaghetti.
A spaghetti. A rigatoni.
We're just saying random.
Yes, we yeah. are. Yeah, we've gone off the rails.
Just like say it
in
like...
off the rails a little bit.
And to keep it the weird.
And keep it the weird.
We're so dumb.
I'm anti-DJ. That's my
weddings.
Stance.
Anti-DJ?
Anti-DJ?
For all weddings and events.
No, just
anti-DJ.
For
all of them.
Not a fan.